Morning. Today we are going to learn about boasting. Boasting is not good if we boast in ourselves. But there is a right kind of boasting, good boasting. That is boasting in God, in the Lord. So it's about whom we are boasting, where we are boasting, that matters. Boasting in itself is not bad. And boasting in the Lord. We will learn boasting in the Lord from the one who boasts, the psalmist. Psalm number 146. Psalm number 146. I'm reading from ESV. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On the very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever. The better translation will be, who is faithful forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord who sets the prisoners free, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind, the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down, the Lord loves the righteous, the Lord watches over the sojourners, he upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. See, this man, this is 10 verses. The psalm is of 10 verses. And if you count, 20 times he mentioned Lord, God, my God. He can't talk except God. He did not mention himself in this psalm. You know, if you're around people who boast in themselves, we can't stand for a second. I had a friend. He always wants to boast in the riches that he has and about the achievements that he did. But if you are with a person who boasts in the Lord, it's contagious. You know Apostle Paul who said, far be it from me that I boast except in the cross of the Lord, the cross of Christ. It's contagious. You will be excited. These people are passionate. Those who boast, they are passionate people. Whether it is in their self or it is in the Lord, they are very passionate. It's contagious. Today we will also get some boasting from this psalmist. So this psalm, we don't know who wrote this psalm. We don't know the author. But students of the Bible say, this is the psalm, all five psalms of psalms are sung during the inauguration of the Zerubbabel's temple. The temple that has been rebuilt after the exile. So there was no safety in the Jerusalem. There are no walls for the Jerusalem. There is no safety for the people. There is no king. They are under someone else. But still they had temple to worship the Lord. And if you read Ezra, there is a shout. There is hearts filled with thankfulness, shouting to the Lord, and the tears are falling. They are all shouting with joy. And this is the occasion. That's when this psalm has been sung. These are called five hallelujahs. And this is one of it. Because it starts with hallelujah and ends with hallelujah. So this psalm, it's not as we read. Sometimes I do read like this. Early in the morning, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Okay, what's the main point? So we are very mechanic sometimes. But this psalm, it's not sung in that way. It's from the heart which is filled with joy and thankfulness with the Lord. And catch this, the most important thing. The joy, the happiness, and the worship, it is not flowing when the circumstances are good. You know, they don't have safety. They don't have king, but they have God's temple. But they are joyful in the Lord. Our worship should also be like that. It's not in our circumstances. it's in the Lord. And verse 1, he starts with saying, praise the Lord. He commands to the congregation. He shouts. This is exclamation. This is a shout, big command that he is giving. And he is not hypocrite. He doesn't call only the congregation. He commands his own soul saying, praise the Lord, O my soul. You know, in English, we don't get the more emphasis. Praise is praise in whatever the emotion it is. But in Hebrew, this difference is there. There are different kinds of tenses even for the commands. And this, the verb that he used is intensity. It emphasizes the intense of the psalmist. So with intensity he is praising. He is boasting in the Lord. And why does he boast? He boasts because he gives a hint in verse 3 saying, do not put your trust in princes, in son of man, in whom there is no salvation. I think his psalmist had put his trust in some man and he had a bitter experience. So because there is no salvation. But he says, blessed is he whose help is God of Jacob. He realized God of Jacob is faithful. If we cry to the God of Jacob, he will help us. He is trustworthy. So he praises Lord because he has been blessed by God. He had been saved by God. He received salvation from the Lord. That is the reason for this psalmist to boast in the Lord. He is boasting in his faithful helper. We are all Christians. Most of us. We are all redeemed by our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:13 says, we have been redeemed, delivered from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. He is faithful. We should also join this psalm, join this psalmist and sing and boast in the Lord because he is faithful helper. And we'll see the psalmist boasting in three ways. And the first way he boasts is he adores Lord. He's adoring God. Adore means to love intensely. And as I mentioned, the praise that he used the word is very intensive. And there are two ways he adores. One is with conviction. You see in verse 1, he says, praise the Lord, O my soul. O my soul. He doesn't sing praise only on Sunday worship time or else in the family prayer. He is talking to his own soul. Do we talk to our own souls? About the Lord? Not about the other things. We do plan and think, talk to ourselves. But about the Lord, about the worship. He is talking to his own soul with conviction. Remember, this is the worship that Jesus taught to the Samaritan woman. John chapter 4 verse 24. The Father is seeking true worshippers. Those who worship two things. In the spirit and the truth. Spirit. It involves our emotions. Convictions that we have built in soul. And second thing is truth. Knowledge of God. In the spirit. The praise, the worship, the songs that we sing, it should be along with our emotions. If you are joyful, be with joy. If you are in trials, suffering, doesn't matter. Lord is faithful. You have to sing with joy, like the psalmist. It's good to talk to ourselves sometimes about the Lord. Not when you are in public, but definitely when you are alone during the devotion time. It's with conviction. Psalm 103, 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. If you are having struggle worshipping God, this is best thing to do during the quiet time. Count the blessings. See, whenever I ask questions, do you boast? Do you worship? Are you joyful in the Lord? It's not to beat on your head, because beating on your head or my head doesn't give, produce worship. Commands cannot help us to worship. Gospel helps us. Christ helps us. If you have struggle, go to the Lord. Start with repenting. Lord, I realized from your word that I have to worship you, and I can't. I am caught up with this world. Help me. Reveal yourself. John Piper, in his book Desiring God, there is a chapter on worship. He helps by giving the illustration of wife and husband. When husband loves his wife, he woos her with his characteristics. In the same way, we are his bride. Lord Jesus Christ woos us. Ask him to woo. He attracts us to worship. He is not just a dictator who says, you have to bow down to me. He actually loves us first and then attracts us. Paul says, love of Christ is compelling me. Ask Christ to reveal himself and then worship Christ with joy. And the second way he adores God is with commitment. Commitment. You see in second verse, this says, I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. I am not going to stop praising the Lord until I am on this earth. That's what he's saying. As long as I live, while I have my being, I am not going to stop praising God. I will devote my life. I will not just say, I will sing praises. He's a passionate leader. This is the commitment that we should also have in terms of worship. And worship and praise is not what we do on Sundays actually. Worship is submitting our life to Lord Jesus Christ. We don't just come on Sundays to worship. We actually go out to worship Lord. Sunday is just 1 hour time, but most of the time we are outside. So we come here to be excited to know the Lord more, so that we might go and submit to the Lord. So worship starts, actually real worship starts when we go out of the church during the week. How was your week? Is this the day you sung the songs? Is this the only day that you pray? Only day that you open your Bible? That we have to check ourselves. And it is good to examine ourselves to know where we are in the Lord. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, brothers, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That's what Paul did. He said, for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Jesus Christ did the same thing. John 17:1, he says, Father, I have glorified you on this earth. We are here, Christians are here to shine Christ. When we worship Christ, people will see the glory of Christ. Psalmist is doing that. By his worship, he is leading people to Christ. He is calling everybody. With commitment, we should adore God. It's important to take commitments in the life. We do take commitments in the life in terms of finances, or in terms of something to do with your family, career. How about worship? How about your part of being a church? Are you committed to the church? It's important in Christian life to be a part of church and to commit to the church. What is your commitment to the Lord, to the church? It's a part of worship. And there is a second way the psalmist boasts in the Lord, that is alerting men. He alerts people. As I earlier mentioned, the psalmist had he has put his trust on man, and he had a bitter experience for big time. So he's alerting men, saying, put not your trust. Put not your trust. See, this verb again here in Hebrew shows the intensity. It's like asking for immediate submission. When you touch something which is hot, your hand automatically draws back, right? In the same way, psalmist is saying, hey, take your trust out of the man. He's alerting. He's lost for big time. He's alerting people. Don't trust on man. And he gives two reasons. Don't rely on princes. Princes. Who are the princes? We don't have princes. But the princes are those who are noble, who are rich, who are influential, who are gifted. Maybe who can make things happen. The successful guy who we trust, we have confidence in. Maybe pastors, if you put your trust in this princess nobleman, you will be having bitter experience. I am a poor man, so my problems will be according to my finances. When I came to PTS, I didn't know that we need to have a laptop. And I came here not knowing that. And then first module is gone, and laptop is very important. So I am praying, but still I am asking my parents. And then they're not helping me. This laptop is a small thing. I am a poor man, not my parents. They can help me. So even though I'm praying, my trust is on my parents. And there is another friend who actually recommended this college, and he said, I will pay your college fee. Don't worry, brother. I'm going to be with you. He did all the promises. And then I told him, I'm sending. Tell me the address. Okay, brother. I texted. And then his phone is switched off. And then I was so bitter. Of course, it's just a small thing for you, maybe finances, but maybe it might be different for you. If you are a parent, you might be thinking, oh, if my child goes to that school where that teacher teaches, I think I'll find the help and hope. Maybe if you are struggling with addictions, I don't know. Maybe if I have that therapy, if you are sick, if I have that therapy, probably. And if you are working, you might be thinking, if I have a better boss, I think I'll have help and hope. Maybe if Sammy spends much time with me and my family, maybe I'll have help and hope. We might have all this thinking. We don't put our trust. And if you are doing that, you will grow in bitterness, not in worship. That's what psalmist is trying to tell. As I earlier mentioned, the psalm, this is sung during the inauguration of the temple's rebuild, the temple which is rebuilt. And it didn't happen in an year. First King Cyrus started. He gave permission for Jews to go and build the temple. And someone else complained on Jews. So they stopped. And again they repented. They prayed to the Lord. And then again they wrote a letter to King Darius. And then Darius sanctioned. And then the temple is built. This worship leader had for some time have trusted on King Cyrus, who gave permission to build. And that is lost for big time. It's going to happen for you as well. If you keep your trust in man. Because they don't have all power. It's a danger, brother. Jeremiah 17:5 says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. Actually, if you are trusting in man, which means your heart is turning away from the Lord. That's why Psalm 118:8 says, it is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. The reason that this noble princess can't help us because they die. Simple thing. They fail. They die. That is the second reason. Not to rely on their plans because they die. He says, when his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On the very day, his plans perish. He is a mortal man. He is just a man like you. James 4:14. The rich man has many plans. And he says, James says, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time, then vanishes. Ecclesiastes 12:7, same reminder. The dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. God is sovereign, not man. They die. Don't put your trust. In AP, I come from AP, so there was a leader who was very successful. He ruled for 7 years continuously, and then everyone were happy. Many people kept their trust in him, and then suddenly one day news came that he's gone, he's no more. Nearly 600 people committed suicides. Because their all trust is in that CM, in that man. What a loss. Maybe if this government comes into the power, we are going to be good. We are going to find help and hope. This is what people think. But it's not true, brothers. We should keep our trust in the Lord. That's why the psalmist, third way, the way he boasts is by attributing Christ. Attributing Christ who is faithful, not like this mortal man, who are weak and who are limited, but the God of heaven and earth. He says, he gives many reasons. He is a creator. He is a provider. He is a gracious Lord. He gives many reasons to trust in him. So he attributes Christ. And see, he says, how blessed. Blessed is he whose help is God of Jacob. You know, blessedness means it's a secure mind. Psalm 27:3. I'm lost in my notes. Okay, I'll try to read from my own Bible. Psalm 27:3, he says, I am confident. This is the same word that he has used for blessed. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. This is the same word used for blessed. It's a secure mind. It's a secure mind. Joy, peace. This is what everybody seeks in the life. Someone said we are all happiness hunters. Even those who commit suicide, they commit because thinking that, oh, if I commit suicide, I will go to another place and I will be happy. I will get rid of all these problems. We all want to be secure, happy, joyful. But blessed is whose help is God of Jacob. You are not blessed if you are not having God of Jacob as your help. You cannot be blessed. You cannot be blessed because blessedness only comes from the Lord. He clearly mentions that. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob. Who is this God of Jacob? He is the creator. Colossians 1:16 says, Jesus Christ is the creator. Gracious Lord. Matthew chapter 14, Jesus Christ fed 5,000 and 15 he fed 4,000. He is very gracious. He healed the sick. He moved with compassion, it says. When he saw the people without the shepherd, he moved with compassion. He is a gracious Lord. And we see he is the King of Zion. When he entered into Jerusalem, they all sang, "Hey, daughter of Zion, fear not, your king is coming on the donkey." He is the King of Zion. This God of Jacob is Jesus Christ. He is the King forever. And he talks about the Lord, the King who blesses us. And two attributes he gives. First thing is, he is a trustworthy helper. He is a trustworthy helper. He says in verse 6, "Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever," or else, "who remains faithful." He is a creator. He is not a mortal man to die. He is a creator who has all power, ability to anything. He can create anything from nothing. He is all powerful. At the same time, he is a helper in whom you can count. You can keep your trust. Why did he mention God of Jacob? He can mention God of Abraham, God of Isaac, but why God of Jacob? Because it is connected to the help that he did. You remember in Genesis chapter 32, I'm going to read for you, Genesis chapter 32. This is Jacob returning from his in-laws' place, and then he hears that his brother Esau is coming opposite to him, and then he fears him. And then he prays that night alone. Then Jacob was greatly afraid. Genesis chapter 32, 7, verses 7 to 12 I'm reading. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people who were with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two camps, thinking if Esau comes to the one camp and attacks it, then the camp that left will escape. And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, 'Return to your country and to your kindred, that I may do you good. I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only one staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two camps. Please deliver me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me, the mothers with the children. But you said, 'I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered as multitude.'" When Jacob alone begged for deliverance, Esau was really mad at him. He wants to kill his brother. But when he saw his brother, you know what he did? He just hugged him. "How are you, brother?" He just hugged him. God changes the situations. As I earlier mentioned about my laptop problem, you know, that day, it's been 2 months I've been praying, and then I still remember the day God clearly showed me. I was growing so bitter. "Why, Lord, why?" And then he just reminded me that I have believed in, I kept my trust in man. So I remember the time also, evening 7:10, I was in the bus stop, and then this thought came, why I'm bitter? Why I'm trusting in men? I should repent. And then I repented the night. I went, 7:30 is the dinner we had. We came back. We are supposed to study. I don't have laptop. Everyone is studying. I have to wait for my friend to study, and then I study in the night. So I want to take a nap, and then I'm taking a nap. One young bald man came to my room, and then he told, "Daryl, I see you don't have laptop. I have my college fees extra. I can give you. take the money, 30,000. You can pay me back later when you have, if you have. I don't know him. It's just been a week, time or few weeks. See, it's not matter of money. Who am I? When I prayed, the God of Jacob heard. It might be different for you. It might be a family problem. It might be a relational problem. It might be something else. But if you cry out to the God of Jacob, He hears your prayers. He is trustworthy. He is faithful. Yeah, it's not about the money. It's about God who helped. I can't stop this. If you ask PTS students, I tell this story again and again and again. Because I'm filled with joy. Yeah. So I want you all to put your trust in Yahweh, God of Jacob. Because He is trustworthy. Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Today, I don't know what you're struggling. Today, you can cry out. He is trustworthy. And the second attribute of this God, Christ Jesus, is He is a King who redeems. He says in verse 10, the Lord will reign forever. He is the King of Zion. He is the King. What kind of King? The King who redeems people. See, in verse 8, he mentions the Lord loves the righteous, and the verse 9 he says, but the way of the wicked He brings to ruin. This King, in His kingdom, He sees two kinds of people. Righteous and the wicked. Righteous are not those who are righteous according to their deeds. But in the Psalms, according to the context of the Psalms, who are the righteous persons? Righteous are those who put their trust in Yahweh. And he goes on now, saying verses 5 to verses 7 to 10. Who executes justice for the oppressed. This King executes justice. Who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. If you read this, if you are familiar with New Testament, it will ring a bell in your mind. Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 20, if you remember Jesus Christ, when He went into a synagogue, He takes the scroll and opens, finds the place in Isaiah chapter 61, where He says, the Spirit is upon me. The gospel has been preached to the poor. And it has been fulfilled today, He says. And if you read, this is the same scriptures which has been quoted in Luke 4. This is Jesus Christ. And this is what everybody looks for. Justice, food, freedom. This is the ideal kingdom that everybody looks for. Even in India, we want justice. We want food. We want freedom. We are struggling for that. Yes. Only in the kingdom of Christ we can find. He is a provider. As we read earlier, Matthew chapter 14. And He is a redeemer. He delivers the oppressed. He is a vindicator. He brings wicked to ruin. He is not the King who just loves the righteous and takes care of the righteous. He is also the King who brings wicked to the ruin. This is very important. This distinguishes the righteous King and the unrighteous King. Who is the wicked? The wicked is who oppresses the poor here. The wicked is who is imprisoning the righteous here. The wicked is who he is stopping the believers to
see Lord Jesus Christ. He is the wicked is who is pressing the believers down. So Jesus Christ, being the king, he executes justice to the oppressed, and he feeds the hunger, and he sets free from this wicked people, prisoners, and he opens the eyes of the blind. He lifts up those who bow down. If we have kept our faith, trust in Jesus Christ, you are righteous. And all this can be happened only when gospel is preached. Gospel only can bring justice. Gospel only can raise the oppressed. Gospel only can deliver the imprisoned. Gospel only can open the eyes of the blind. Gospel only can raise those who bow down. Do you preach gospel? It's a way of boasting, actually. Last time also in my sermon I mentioned, if you're working with IT, people boast, I work for Microsoft, I work for Cognizant, I work for this and that. If you are under this king, in this kingdom, you will boast by preaching gospel. By preaching his king. Pastor Chris, I don't think he will listen this summer, so I can go ahead. He is very passionate about Christ. When he comes to the class, he will convict everybody by his teaching, because he loves Christ a lot, and he excites us to work hard for the kingdom of Christ. If you be around people who are zealous and passionate for Christ, you will also be. And don't try to get someone like Chris or this psalmist, but be one. And the only thing that we have to do is to love Christ, to look at him. And if we look at him, we will be attracted, and we will love him. And when we love him, we can't stop. We will boast in him. Jeremiah chapter 9. This is, by the way, this is the same word that has been used. Praise and boast are the same words. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast of his might, let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in this. He delights in this. If you are boasting in the Lord, he delights in you. He delights in revealing himself. Don't think that only Apostle Paul, only John MacArthur, only Pastor Chris can be passionate about Christ and can preach Christ. We all can when we behold to the Lord. So I encourage all of you to boast in Christ by knowing him and sharing gospel. Thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for delivering us from the kingdom of darkness. And you have brought us to the kingdom of light. You did not just save us from our sins. You have given a privilege to be with you in heaven, to worship you, Lord, to boast in you. Thank you for this privilege that you have given to boast in you. I pray for Cornerstone, Lord, as we listen to the psalmist today from you, through you, Lord, I pray that we will be like this psalmist who boasts in you, Lord. Reveal yourself to us. Attract us, Lord. Captivate our hearts with your glory, so that we might be full with joy in our hearts. I pray for each one of us here, Lord. If they don't know you, Lord, I pray that they'll humble themselves today. They'll repent and know you, how glorious you are. I pray everyone will remember this truth and give their lives to this Lord, that Jesus is King. And I submit Cornerstone and myself into your hands. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.